Father, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the adoration. Be glorified for a day like this, the day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in. Thank you, Master, and thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise and a victory shout. Hallelujah. 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 And hallelujah. Welcome three people around you to this midweek power communion service, the second one in our month of taking charge in health, taking charge in liberty, and taking charge in wholeness. In Jesus' name, please be seated in God's presence. Hallelujah. I'm going to be speaking on a subject today I believe I haven't probably spoken on a subject like this, or maybe together the way it's going to come. And this is titled Roots and Origins of Sicknesses and Afflictions. Roots and Origins of Sicknesses and Afflictions. Our objective is to understand the roots and origins of afflictions in order to know how to handle them. Understanding the roots and origins of sicknesses and afflictions in order to know how to handle them. The Bible said in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about doing good. He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. One of the things we know is that if you can identify the root of a tree, it is easy to cut it. If you can identify the cause of a problem, it is easy to solve it. If you can understand the diagnosis of an ailment, it is easy to cure them. There are times where people are binding the devil for an affliction or an ailment that has another root, another source. And so this moment, we are going to look at the roots and the origins of sicknesses and diseases. The first root of sickness and disease is the oppression of the devil, the spirit of infirmity. The oppression of the devil, the spirit of infirmity. We just read that now, where the Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So sicknesses can come by the oppression of the devil, where there is a specific demonic spirit or entity behind the ailment or the affliction. We look in the book of Luke chapter 13 and in verse 11. We saw a woman there. The Bible said, and behold, there was a woman. Alright, we start from verse 10. When Jesus went into the temple and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She was possessed, afflicted with the spirit of infirmity. So there are spirits of infirmity that could be responsible for the affliction of people. There are spirits of infirmity that could be responsible for sicknesses and affliction. And in this case, what you do is to address that spirit, is to cast it out in the name of Jesus I rebuke you, spirit of hypertension. Hypertension could have another cause, but it could also come from a spirit behind that pressure. I rebuke you, spirit of infirmity that is behind this arthritis, or you, spirit of infirmity that is behind this deaf devil, deaf and dumb. You remember the Bible talked about a man possessed with a deaf spirit, a dumb spirit, and Jesus cast it out and the man spake. So the oppression of the devil dash the spirit of infirmity. And he arose out of the synagogue. That's right. That was Luke 4:38 and 39. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over and rebuked the fever. You see, the fever was rebukable, which means the fever was not just a symptom. The fever was a personality. The fever had a personality, a spiritual personality behind it. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So here we have the oppression of the devil, and we have the spirit of infirmity. Number two, sicknesses and affliction can come. Number two is transgression and iniquity. Transgression and iniquity. In Psalm 103 verse 1 all the way to verse 3, the Bible said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, semicolon, who healeth all thy diseases." You see, the forgiveness of iniquities, semicolon, is connected to the healing of diseases. So there is a connection. The forgiveness of iniquities is tied to the healing of diseases. It is when iniquities are forgiven, diseases can be healed and be permanently healed. In Psalm 119 verse 67, we see the connection again between sickness. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." So affliction can come when we go astray, when we leave the way of the Lord, when we begin to do things we are not meant to do. Lying, stealing, duping, cheating can open the door for affliction. In Psalm 107 and in verse 17, Psalm 107 and in verse 17, the Bible said, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted." Because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. And so this is the situation where a person is afflicted because of their transgression, because of their iniquity, because their consciences are defiled and their spiritual immunity is weakened, and then the devil can afflict them. Did you hear that? Their conscience is defiled, or their consciences are defiled, spiritual immunity is weakened, and then the devil can attack them. Now, in this case, it is not the casting of the devil that will bring the healing to the sickness. This particular case, it is not the casting of the devil or the binding of a devil. No, in this case, it is a confession of every known sin and every unknown. "Lord, if there is any way I've heard, and open the door for the enemy to attack my health, in this case, I am asking for mercy. I am asking for forgiveness. And if you know particularly what you did that led," okay, you can trace it. Okay, "it was when I began to live like this that I began to fall sick." And then you confess, and then you can receive healing and deliverance. That is why it is important to know the root, so you can know how to handle it. That's number two. Number three, it comes by inheritance dash generational transfer. Inheritance or generational transfer. That is where a person receives an affliction because it is in the blood, in the genetic of his family. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or empty life received by tradition from your fathers." So there are things that are tradition is trading, is traded down. There are things that are traded down from your fathers to you, traded down, and then they can affect you. You remember the very, very, it is both funny but also a very tragic story of the Ephraimites during the war in Judges chapter 12 and in verse 5 and in verse 6, in the midst of a very heated battle when Gideon was a very heated battle. The Bible says the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, "Let me go over," that the men of Gilead said unto them, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he said no, they said, "Okay," unto him, "Now say Shibboleth." And he said, "Shibboleth." Because he couldn't pronounce the H, the she. He could not frame to pronounce it. Then they took him. Now, that was a situation where something was transferred. You can take it off now. Something was transferred as much as the language, the pronunciation. We even see it in our day today, where you can detect somebody's tribe at times from the way they spoke. Are you from so-and-so place? Are you from so-and-so place? That is what happened. And this happens also in transfers, genetic transfers. As a medical doctor, when we do what we call history taking, because when you meet a patient, you take the history of the sickness. When did it start? What are the symptoms? But there is a crucial part of the history that is called family and social history. Where a person, you take all this history, especially if they are presenting symptoms that look in some way. Is there anybody in your family who is hypertensive? Oh yes, who? Your mother? All right. Your father? Oh yes, your elder brother? All right. And then, is there a diabetic history in your family? You see somebody who is trying to run mad. Is there madness in your family? Is there anybody? So it is well known medically that these things can be transferred genetically. That people have what we call genetic predilection. Predisposition. Where something is already happening in your family and then it becomes easily transferred. This is a case of generational transfer inheritance. And so what we do is to reject it. Once you know, you know family patterns in your family, that this is the kind of sickness that torments people and trouble people, then you take it upon yourself, especially when you begin to sense the same symptom in your body, you deliberately begin to do a deliverance, a self-deliverance if need be. Lord, I reject these transfers. I reject these patterns from my family. I reject by the blood of Jesus. And you can go through messages that break curses and break inheritances and then get freedom out of that. So sicknesses can come from inheritance and generational transfers. Number four is wrong habits and lifestyle. Wrong habits and lifestyle. Acts 27 and verse 34. Acts 27, 34. The Bible said, Paul the apostle was in the midst of the storm with those who were sailing with him. He said, "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, eat some food, for this is for your health." You see, I can stop there. There is a connection between eating and health. There are wrong eating habits that have destroyed people's lives. For example, somebody is taking excessive sugars, Coke in the morning, Fanta in the afternoon, and this in the evening, and the taste of his tea is never enough until it is overwhelmed with sugar. Very soon he might come down with sugar diabetes. There are people who have ulcers because of what they have eaten. There are people with high cholesterol in the blood because of excessive fried foods and excessive fatty foods and all of that. So habits, lifestyle can affect somebody's health. Somebody's chest is open in the midst of Hamatan, in the midst of winter, and he has no level of heating at all. He might come down with pneumonia and other forms of lung afflictions or infections or diseases. Or somebody decides to be a smoker. That one is not just sinning, but a lifestyle that is going to cause a bronchiogenic carcinoma and also probably affect the blood pressure. And then somebody is there, an alcoholic. You see what the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 5 and in verse 11. Isaiah 5 and in verse 11. He said, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that continue until night, till wine inflame them. You see, that word inflame is a medical word, inflammation. You see, so inflammation of the liver and all manner of organs can happen by that habit of wine. The Bible said in Proverbs 31 and in verse 6a, it said, give strong drink to the person who wants to perish. Anybody who wants to die, give him drink. That is, alcoholism is a process, is a death process. That is a disease process unto death. So lifestyle can bring wrong habits, and lifestyle can bring disease. This case is not a case of prayer for the sick to be healed, except they already repented and the symptoms are there. It's not a case of casting out a devil, except the devil of addiction that is making them to live like that. This is a case of lifestyle change that is going to bring healing and is going to bring deliverance. Somebody say aloud, amen. I told you before the story of a man that Dr. Misanencha met in the hospital many, many years ago. And this man was a drunkard and a smoker. And the drunkenness led to diabetes. And the smoking led to worsening his hypertension. And he was told to stop. He said he couldn't stop because it was a habit he had formed. Long story made short, when he was face to face with death, nobody prayed for him. Nobody counseled him. He just knew it is either smoke and drink and die, or stop smoking and drinking and leave. And he made the choice to leave, and he lived. I asked him, I said, who prayed for you? He said, nobody. He just realized that he needed to change this habit. So these are lifestyle changes and habit changes that can be curative of afflictions. Number five is the wrong utterance. Oh, this is so amazing and so shocking that what people say can actually destroy their lives. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That is, the way you speak is either enhancing death for you or facilitating life for you. Also, the way you speak is either destroying you with disease or regenerating your body. That's right. In Proverbs 12 and in verse 18, this is so direct. He said, there is someone who speaks like the piercings of a sword. So there are people whose speech is piercing and cutting short their lives the way you use a sword. He said, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue, there are tongues that communicate health, and there are tongues that communicate death. There are tongues that communicate wellness, and there are tongues that communicate disease. When you say, I am strong, everything is working. I am nothing is wrong with me, and nothing can be wrong with me. As against somebody saying, oh, everything is going wrong. I mean, in fact, what is life all about? And they just keep talking like that. The wrong utterance has killed many people. In fact, Proverbs 18:21, I believe it was the Living Bible Version, who said, many have died for saying the wrong thing. Many have died for saying, those who love to talk will suffer the consequences. Men have died for saying the wrong thing. So the wrong utterance can become a root of sickness, a root of disease, and even the root of death. Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 2, he said, thou art snared with the words of your mouth, and you are taken, that is, as a captive with the words of your mouth. So the words that people speak can be their snare. The words that people speak can be their trap. Your words can trap you. Your words can ensnare you. And your words can destroy you. Beloved brothers and sisters, in this case, it is not a devil that is needed to be cast out. In this case, it's not a witch that is to be dealt with. In this case, the worst devil is your own words. When you can make up your mind and you can say to yourself, everything is working in my life. My system is working. Organs are working. Kidneys are working. Lungs are working. Liver is working. Everything is getting better and better for my life every day. And you are speaking. And even when it doesn't appear as if things are well. The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. Let the weak say I am strong. It didn't say let the weak lie that they are not weak. He only says that the weak should confess their strength. Instead of saying I am weak, say I am strong. I believe that was Joel chapter 3 and verse 10. Let the weak say I am strong. So you say what you want to have, not what you have. You say what should be, not what is, not what you feel. You say what you will, not what you feel. That's right. So the wrong utterance is a root of sickness. It might look simple to somebody, but that can make the difference between life and death. Hallelujah. I heard the story of how Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho changed the utterance of a woman. I heard every time you say something to her, she said, you are burning me up with your words. You are burning me up with your words. So this woman came down with a fever of unknown origin, pyrexia. They couldn't trace the source of the fever. Her body was hot permanently. And when they examined her speech and how she spoke, she always said, you are burning me up with your words. And so when she was told to stop talking like that, she stopped talking like that, and then the fever was healed without any medication. So the wrong utterance. All you need to do here is to change the utterance and begin to speak health, not death. Life, not disease. Number six is bitterness and unforgiveness. It's a root. It's a root of sickness. It's a root of affliction. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, the Bible said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A root of bitterness springing up troubles people and defiles people. Root of bitterness. If the root of bitterness in the heart translates into the fruit of sickness in the body. Bitterness is a killer. Bitterness has occasioned cancers. Bitterness has occasioned hypertension. Bitterness has occasioned arthritis, migraines, and all manner of psychosomatic symptoms. In Matthew chapter 8, 18 and in verse 34, the Bible speaking about the person who will not forgive. He said his Lord was wrought and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So unforgiveness invites the ministry of the tormentors. Of the tormentors, like you see in that scripture. And then it can progress on to disaster and destruction. That will never be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, is depression. Depression and heaviness. Depression, the spirit of depression. There is a spirit called the spirit of depression. Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse 3. Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of depression. This is an affliction. Why is that so? Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit, do you hear that? A depressed spirit dryeth up the bones. It dries up the bones. The bone is the center of life. The blood is manufactured from the bones. The red blood cells, white blood cells, all are stemmed from the bone, and the blood carries the life. So depression, heaviness is an attack on life. Now if it says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the opposite is correct. A heavy heart doeth evil like sickness. It doeth evil. A heavy heart, a depressed heart, a sorrowful heart, those kind of hearts that refuse to be happy. That is, there is nothing you will do to make them happy. It is disease. It's a disease process. And I'm sure you know that depression is a clinical condition. Melancholia, at the extreme of it, is an extreme form of madness. When they say people have bipolar disorder, it is mania and melancholia. That is, raving mad, like running and breaking chain, or depressed mad, like that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And so, it's clinical depression. And in this case, it is not just trying to cast out a devil except the devil of depression, except that spirit of heaviness must be cast out, and then the sickness can be healed. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 15, the Bible said, he said in Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. The person whose heart is excited, his life is continual. Beloved brothers and sisters, you look at these seven roots and seven origins of afflictions. Is oppression, the oppression of the devil, the spirit of infirmity. You have transgression and iniquity. You have inheritance, generational transfer. You have wrong habits and lifestyles. You have the wrong utterance. You have bitterness and unforgiveness. And you have depression and heaviness. What is my counsel? Number one, do all you can to avoid the roots of disease. From having a place in your life. Do all you can to avoid the roots of disease from taking their roots in your life. Number two, receive help from the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. Help all the way. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, he said, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, be dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. We are healed by his stripes, and we receive our healing from the sacrifice of Calvary. It's a new day for you. Today, any of those seven channels or routes where you feel that the enemy has had an inroad in your life, ask for God's mercy. Renounce the ones you need to renounce. Forgive the sins you need to forgive. And then we'll move. We're going to take the next 5 minutes to pray our hearts out to God. And then at the end of that 5 minutes, we'll move to the next level. Lift up your hands and your voice and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. Thank you for showing me the roots of diseases and affliction. Today, I receive your help and deliverance from these various roots in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray.
Get it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.